Stuff out.
She's not like anyone else. You wonder why she captured you like a firefly and makes you shine like you never could alone.
Hey everybody, welcome to Drive Through HR. Brian, William, and Nisha coming to you live every day. I'm flying solo today, and I've got an amazing guest, truly just a fine American, I might add, a global contributor to the world. So, see, I'm setting the bar pretty high here. So,
you have the guests mixed up here. Do you realize that it's me and not someone else?
Oh, my gosh. So, it is a crappy Thursday here. The sun is not shining. It's not really raining. And so, you know, but at least it's not cold. So, you got to find the silver lining there. So, John Hudson, welcome back to Drive Through HR.
Thank you very much. Glad to be back here. I'm turning off my, as I had your website open, I was hearing myself. I was like, that's not cool. So I had to turn that off.
Maybe it gets a little weird. So So awesome, man. So well, introduce yourself, and you know the drill on this, and to our millions of listeners, and then we'll roll into kind of what's top of mind with you.
All right, John Hudson, HR manager with Discovery Communications, the Discovery Channel, and Harpo Studios here in Chicago. Been kind of in this setup for the past year, but. You know, with Harpo and the Oprah Winfrey Network and Discovery for almost 7 years now here in Chicago. So it's, you know, do a little bit of everything, primarily some generalist duties, but depending on what time of day it is, will take me everywhere from, you know, recruiting, project management, HR tech, employee relations, all that fun stuff. So it's... And although it's cold here in Chicago, it's very sunny, which has not been the case lately. So there's my silver lining on the weather chat.
Hey, I like it. I like
yeah.
it. I like it a lot. So, let's get that 800-pound gorilla. Let's start smacking. Let's start smacking and dodging a little bit. Let's get in the ring here and.
Yeah,
we got some brackets. We're right at the front end of the madness. So let's talk a little bit about that. But I also wanted to share, and I just posted to Facebook, the best quote of 2013 for me thus far got put out this morning. It was a an article that got posted out on a friend of mine, friend, business partner, colleague, Kat Carlos is a alum for, FS, they're the Fort Myers, it's the university, it's the university in Fort Myers who made the tournament, and it's like literally the second time they've been eligible, Florida Gulf Coast.
All right.
Yeah, so Florida Gulf Coast, thank you. Fort Myers, just put it out there, and the best quote ever was, I'm totally like all over the place here, but I know we'll get to the good stuff, was this year Cinderella could be wearing sandals to the dance.
Beautiful.
That strikes me. I just love that.
Well, I mean, they're taking on the Hoyas, so, yeah, that could be a tough one, but it's been done. A 15 is knocked off a 2. So, and I think it was last year, right? The Dukies, was it Lehigh that knocked off Duke last year? Wasn't that a 15-2, maybe?
I graduated from Nebraska, by the way, so that was probably, I'm less of a basketball fan. I'm a fan this time of year, right?
Yes.
But you're in the Big 8, Big 12, you're in Nebraska, you're less of a fan.
Yeah, you're a fan, and you're a fan in the fall.
Yeah.
And welcome to the Big 10, by the way, Nebraska. So that's
thank you. Well, nice to be welcome. So good place to land. But so good luck, Florida Gulf Coast. I'm rooting because they have nothing to lose. That's the
Absolutely.
Part that probably should be scary to the Hoyas is they. You got some people that are coming in and going, we're here, right?
Yeah.
Let's have a good time and let's be disruptive and let's take as many chances as we possibly can. And that's scary because you don't
yeah.
have the normal gig in front of you, right?
Absolutely. I mean, you know, that's all the pressure lies on all these 1, 2, 3, I mean, all the favorites. And, you know, to go in with that attitude, you being disruptive or, you know, not necessarily having a care, but enjoying the moment. You know, these kids may never get to do this ever again in their life. So to be sitting there, enjoy that, they're relaxed. I mean, not to do a bad segue here, but that's what you want your employees to do every day. You know, come into work and live in that moment to, put it all out there. I mean, there shouldn't be that pressure. These are, 18, 19, 20-year-old kids? For all of them. And it's fantastic. This is my favorite time of the year. As I'm staring at my brackets right now. I mean, I'm sorry. I'm looking at my work.
You're working. You got a project
yeah.
in front of you. You're project managing.
Yeah, that's right. That's
it's amazing
right.
How many project managers projects are happening right now? Probably more. There's more productivity on projects than ever in the history of all the fiscal year. So.
Oh yeah. I look at this whole March Madness though, and you're seeing these articles about losing productivity and all this gambling in the workplace, and it's bad, bad, bad. And I mean, I have a total opposite approach to that. I think, you know, you use this as an opportunity for team building, camaraderie, whatever you have in your office, in your small team. When I started here, 2006, I'm the only guy in my department. And so here I am, I'm sitting with, 8 or 9 women, and not all of them are all big basketball fans, or I mentioned bracket, and they're like, what does that mean? So we used to do every staff meeting, we would do sort of a share of, you know, what's an inspirational quote, what's a book that you read, you know, that's related to the workplace and things like that, and how does that relate to what we're doing? So I roll in March, back then when you printed off your brackets, and had a stack of brackets. I said, okay, here's my motivational share. Pass it all around, and I'm like, we're going to fill out the brackets. And I had to do an instructional, here's how you do it. You know, the winner goes to the next line. You know, these are what seating is. So I explained that to them. Had a blast doing it. I mean, we put our brackets up on the door. You know, it was like, oh, I love this team because their colors or this mascot's cute and this is that. And that was me talking. And it was like... So we had the best time doing it, and now every year everyone brings that up. It's like, hey, when are we doing the brackets? And we didn't sit there all day and watch TV. We didn't sit there and monitor the brackets. You know, work got done. They covered for me while I sat here and watched TV all day. And, you know, to me, I think using things like that really can bring a team together. You know, you can get out of it. Now, we all know there's no gambling in Bushwood, so,
nope.
You know, anything, it's all for entertainment purposes, or just, I don't want to know about it, but it's, I look at it as a way to, you know, you see a lot of these policies that go in, and people look at you, HR won't let me do this, or management won't let me do that, well why? I mean, really? Hey, do what's right for your team, what's right for your organization, have some fun with it, and, you know, I think it helps you, you know, when they see the HR guy throwing his brackets in there, they're like, ooh, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm playing the brackets. What else do you do in March? I think that kind of opens your doors a little bit for us to kind of knock down some barriers, you know, in HR of, oh, you're just the policy police, or you're old and nutty. I'm like, no, I'm a regular person. I play the brackets. I look at the internet. You know, that's what we do.
Yeah, no, that's, and that's the thing, I think what, interesting, yesterday, so Jason Lawrenson came up from Omaha, he's part of a Talent Anarchy speaker, that actually, my new company, I'm going to do a plug, SIVO, it's not a new company, but the company that I'm 100% focused on now, brought him up, and in his presentation, which was Future of Talent Management, he just talked about one of the two takeaways or three takeaways that he talked about was getting back to being the, you know, to the studying and being the actual human people organization. So study humans, understand why people do things, understand literally what, you know, what the motivation behind things, actually go back to being, put the human back in human resources and get less out of the process side of things, and that opens up understanding your business. That opens up how people really fit into roles, you know, and I thought that was really simplistic yet profound kind of statement of less process and more people.
Well, then if that happens, if that happens, though, what do we do about big data? I'm kidding.
We
can't bring people into it. We need analytics. We need data. We need numbers. You know, HR is, we don't want people. God forbid we worry about people and human resources. I kid, I digress.
Yeah. The beauty of that is you get an analyst to look at your data and answer your people questions, right? I think that's the, it's another, you know, it's like technology. I get the sardonic tone. I like it. I like it a lot. You're from Chicago. You're in Chicago, so that's just kind of a given. That's part of why I like Chicago. But at the end of the day, you know, that's a part of the technology. I think a lot of times you're trying, you know, and it was interesting because he actually gave the history of kind of management and the actual management processes and human resources. And, I mean, the majority of this stuff is like 60 years old. I mean, the first performance appraisals came out of, you know, Andrew Carnegie did those. He started performance appraisals, right? Meritocracy. And that, the same stuff, the only difference, we're doing the same stuff. The only big difference is we're trying to do it faster with technology, right? Interesting. So good, actually great segue. Where do you think big data is a plus or minus?
From a plus side, to be able to pull all of that together at our fingertips, you talk about wanting to be faster, have more approach to what we're doing, to have a different angle on it. I mean, if we're able to pull, you know, what you have in your HRIS system, make a decision, an informed decision that can move the organization, and you can show, you know, you can show your leaders, hey, here's why we're spending X amount of year on this HRIS system. Here's why we're doing all this work. It's because of X. And because here I can show you the numbers because you're an analytical person, so we have all this data. But, you know, for me, it's a backup. It's a backup to tell your story. Of like I said, we've been doing this. Things haven't changed what we've been talking about for 60 years. But now that we have some information to really truly back it up and to show, you know, when everyone looks at us, oh, you're all touchy-feely, you're HR, you're people, and, you know, you're overhead. Well, yeah. But here's the data that shows everything I've been telling you the past 10 years of what we need to do. I actually have some numbers on that. I actually have some things that show what I've been telling you forever that we need to do. So for me, I think that's anything that you can have, any of that backup, any of that firepower, and that can, it's easily at your hands. You know, and to me, big data doesn't have to be a huge HRIS system. Your big data could be your Excel spreadsheet that you've been tracking. You know, you're a one-person HR shop of 50 people, you know, a 50-person organization, and you're doing all your recruiting and all your metrics on a spreadsheet. Guess what? There's your big data for your company. And that there, I mean, it's a lot better than pulling out some employee files and going through that. So I think the biggest plus is it's having it as backup. I mean, technology is not going to do the work for us in anything we do. But it's a tool to make our jobs easier, to help us make informed decisions where it's appropriate. I mean, there's just going to be certain things that you can have all the data that you want, but it's not going to tell you anything. You know, but it's how you're using that. If it helps you sell your story to your audience, that to me is the biggest plus. I don't know if you want me to go the minus side.
I like the it's crappy outside, so let's go dark now.
It's not dark because I mean, it's just what you talked about with Jason coming up and talking about. I think when we see the technology and we see these things about big data and you need numbers and the CEO, this is what the CEO wants to know about you. I think we get lost in the data and we get too caught up in, oh gosh, we have to have this slick system. We have to have these spreadsheets. We got to spend 8 hours putting together this report because it's got to justify everything we're doing. It takes us away from doing what we do best, which is getting to know the people in our organization face to face, getting out of our offices, getting out of our cubes, meeting every employee, understanding what they do, what our leaders and the business that they do. I think sometimes we get so caught up in having to have analytics because HR is always just trying to prove themselves. And I'm like, we don't have to prove ourselves. This is what we do. I think that sometimes takes us away from the day-to-day, God, not to sound cliche-ish, but relationship building and getting to know your business. You're not going to get to know your business sitting behind your computer crunching big data. You're going to get to know your business by sitting down and asking and talking. And you know what? What do you do? What does your organization do? What do you do? Because the reason I'm asking this is this helps me do my job better. This helps me serve your organization, your team better. If I know everything that you do, whether it's talent management, whether it's recruiting, you're looking at any type of talent management that you do. You're looking at employee relations. You understand what your business does, and I know what every position does in this organization. I'm going to serve you 10 times better than me crunching this big data and not getting out and getting to know you. Once you know all that, I mean, then you can start building that data. But I think the first thing is spending the time getting to know what our organizations do. And to me, I think that's, we get so nervous of, we're not doing big data. We need this big system or we need analytics. We need, numbers, numbers, numbers. And like, well, hey, I don't do math. I do. I enjoy it, but I'm learning as helping my third grader in her homework that I need to sharpen up my math skills. But we're in the people business. So let's get that down right and then continue to build with the tools and the what we have. Not every HR department has 50 people in it. A separate HRIS system, a separate ATS, and let me throw out five more acronyms. But, a majority of people, I'm assuming, are one, two-person organizations. It's like, all right, I just got to keep my head above water today. And how am I going to do that? Where am I going to spend my time? What's going to add value each day? And to me, I think it's getting in front of your client groups, your employees, your leaders, and talking, asking questions. Act like a five-year-old. Ask 500 questions a day. And to me, that's your best way you're going to get to know the business and the best way you're going to add value.
Yeah, that's let me do a quick reset. Everybody, you're listening to Drive Through HR. It's Brian. I'm on with John Hudson out of the lovely Chicago area. To kind of continue on that path, so let's put on kind of that the futurism hat for a second. So there's, we have ebbs and flows through, kind of the HR profession and professionals and what their focus tends to be, like what the hot different thing is, whether it's being more big data-ish or it's being more practitioner-ish, social media, getting that wrapped in there. So what do you think is going to be probably, what's going to be an indicator over the next, or what's going to be a leading indicator for where people should go, in your opinion, over the next 3 to 5 years as far as an HR practitioner?
I mean, kind of where's the business going, or where do we think you know, a practitioner should be spending their time, or what is it going to look like in 5 years? Is that kind of?
Yeah, both. All-encompassing question.
Yeah. I'm going to solve the world's problems here all in 5 minutes. And if I only ran the world, because I know how to solve problems, if I only ran the world, we'd be fine. I think, you know, the technology is not, you know, we're here with a lot of the technology. It's not going back. It's important to have. And I think for the most part, you know, savvy HR pros are in it. They're using it. Or they got it on top of mind. But I think when you look 3 to 5 years, when you're running this show and we're big time, you're syndicated on every radio platform that we have, we're going to be talking about the same things. But there will be a shiny new tool. There will be a next big thing. You know, big data will be now super big data. But I think a lot of what an HR professional and what they're going to be worrying about and the same things that drive are the things we talked about 5 years ago, what was going on 60 years ago with performance reviews and metrics. And I think for me, it's staying on top of the latest trends, but don't go away from the core part of what we are for organizations. Managing people, helping them succeed, giving them the tools they need to succeed. And if that tool is training, if that tool is technology, if that tool is, assistance or help with their benefits, I mean, those are, I think, are going to be the core things that have been our core when we were personnel. You're dealing with humans, and that's the big... That's the moving target there. So I think that's – we're still going to be discussing the same topics. You know, there's going to be things out there that make our jobs easier, but to say that we're going to totally revamp and, I think things will change from a benefits perspective, you know, when we got all the healthcare and, you know, maybe that'll be the next thing in the next 5 years, or how do companies deal with – new healthcare laws and these exchanges, and what does that apply to perks and benefits and how we reward our employees. So those I think are going to change, but we're still going to be having the same topics. How does this affect our employees? And that's what we do, and that's what we analyze and we take care of. So there's going to always be some pressing issue, but I think that core skill and the core things that we do it will be the same 5 years as it was, you know, 5 and 10 years ago.
Well, and that's, you know, it's interesting because I know Jason's presentation, he cited a Harvard Business Review article from 1953, right?
Yeah.
And it was so funny. This, like, the five bullet points from 1953, he then cited an article by McKinsey in, like, 2007, and it was exactly the same. You know, anecdotally, it was exactly the same thing, right?
And I've got the data right there to back it up, so there you go.
We got super data. Super data, the next trend. We're going way back.
All right.
Big data,
can
so
you...
2013.
Can you and I coin that, and we're gonna make hundreds on that? Super big data.
That is all money. Super big data. It's like God, big data. That is so passe. Super big data. That's the trend. That's the future.
We're going 44 ounce there. No 32 ounce big gulps here. We're bringing it.
We'll go straight up 40. I like it. So we got this, you know, the future. That's just been an interesting kind of topic that just keeps coming up. And what does the future of HR look like? Is HR going away? You know, then you get the other case.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, we need to be more people-centric, and we're just too transactional, and everybody, you know, everybody needs to carve their place out and understand you know, you need to learn more about your business. So what's top of mind, or what's the visceral reaction when you hear people saying, you know, to be a better HR practitioner, you just need to learn more about your business, John?
Yeah. I'd say, you know what? You're right. You know, but I don't have to come from the business. I don't have to be an accountant to do HR for an accounting firm. I think that's the big part of, you know, knowing what your organization does, how you can assist them. I think that's the big part of it. We hear it all the time. It's so cliche about get to know the business. Well, yeah. I mean, I didn't know anything about, you know, television production and digital media and, you know, ad sales or anything like that 5 or 6 years ago. I knew not. I came from, you know, the beverage industry, and I came from the insurance industry. But I sat down and I talked to people. I asked them, what do they do? How can I help you? Can I shadow you for a day? I want a day in the life of, you know, a sales assistant. I want to know what you do. And to me, I'm not going to go out and sell airtime, but I can talk about it. I can tell, you know, I understand what when I'm recruiting or when I'm, you know, when we're doing succession planning, I understand what it takes, you know, within this business. And to me, that's what you need to do. You don't have to be an underwriter to support HR and insurance. And like I said, I would not hire, you know, to run my marketing department, I would not hire an HR person with no experience in, because I needed to have a good people manager. No, I want a marketing expert who's done a little bit of HR and leadership. That's great, but when I'm sitting down, you better talk marketing to me, and don't say, well, I'm great at HR, but I'll learn about that. I mean, so I look at that from an HR person. You know, why would I put an operator? I mean, it happens. People make the transition. It's fantastic. But I want an HR expert who knows about operations, who knows about finance, who knows about marketing. But their core, what they do is HR. That's why I've hired you. That's why I'm coming to you, because I don't know it. And that's why, so for me, that's, and you get to know the business. It takes time, but it also, it's very rewarding. It's how you build your relationships, build your credibility within the organization that your people love to talk about themselves. Listen to me. I'm sitting here, I've been talking the whole time. But you ask a leader, what do you do? You don't have to say another word for the next 30 minutes, because they will talk your ear off about what they do. People love to do that. So, I mean, I had that conversation last night. So it was, you know, for me, that's how you get to know that. And I agree. You get to know your business.
Hey, well, that's, you know, sounds pretty damn easy to me. So
it's a piece of cake. I'm gonna cut this off. We're gonna watch some hoops now. My job's done.
I mean, 5 minutes. Great. The world is, you put a dent in the universe in 5 minutes. It didn't take you decades like Steve Jobs spent years doing it. 5 minutes.
Like I
man,
told you,
honest.
I've got it all figured out.
Love it.
Yeah, outsource. You don't need to outsource. It's pretty easy.
Yeah, I love it. See, people. It's March Madness. It's the magical time of March Madness, right? That's,
I mean, Cinderella's wearing sandals right now.
Ah, I love it. Well, and you know what? We're just about out of time. But underdogs, this is the year of the underdogs. I'm saying it right now. It is going to be big time.
I got it. Look, I'm a Hoosier. I'm an IU grad. This is a year of the underdog until they meet Indiana. How about that?
You hang all you can on that. I appreciate the loyalty.
What gets me by?
I'm telling you. Like I said, Nebraska is one of those things that people are allowed to play basketball, but past that, it's like, that's cute. That's
yeah. What's this round leather thing? We need this oblong pig skin.
Exactly. So, but. Well, hey, man, thanks for coming on and joining. Great conversation, as usual.
Thank you so much.
It'd be fun to actually break bread sometime when I'm up in Chicago in the near future.
Let's make that happen.
Done. We'll do it. People, we have the answer to everything in HR. So just listen to the show, re-listen, take some notes, bullet point it out.
Tweet it, post it, link it in.
Drop
send
that.
Send it to your congressman. We're ready to go.
You got it. So, John, have a good rest of the day, folks. We're out of here. Good luck with your bracket.
See all right, folks. Take care.
Later.